All right. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
So this will be my first time preaching ever. Just kidding. For those of you that got afraid. No, it's I'm the men's pastor at our local church in Menifee. I've been serving in ministry for the better part of about 15 years. I came to the Lord at a young age and just been full bore ever since. But my heart and my passion has always been for men and men's ministry, so you will need to forgive me a little bit if I'm a little direct or forthcoming. That's typically how I share and communicate with men. And so before we get started, I'd like to go ahead and pray for us. Father, I thank you so much for this time. I ask that you would open our eyes and our hearts and our ears, that you would help us to hear from you, that you would bless this time, that you would help us to receive whatever it is that you'd have for us this morning, that you would teach us something about yourself, teach us something about ourselves, and just help us to learn and be transformed by your word through your spirit. Thank you for doing that. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So it's interesting to me that that the songs that we sang this morning had a lot to do with redemption. That's exactly what I'm going to be speaking to you this morning about. It's almost like God knew what he was doing. So this idea and this concept of redemption is very interesting. It's something that we all know on a deep level, whether we're Christians, whether we're not, that there's something that is wrong. There's something that is not right. There's something that is not right with how the world works. There's something that's not right with us. There's something that is in need of redemption. And if we boil that down to what is most obvious, it usually comes down to suffering. When we start to look at what is redemption, it comes from a place of suffering. And then below and behind that, trying to figure out why the suffering. Why is there suffering in the world? Why is there suffering in our own lives and in the world as a whole? And then if we dig a little bit deeper beyond that, it goes into our search for meaning and purpose. It's usually one of the things that drives us to church, that drives us to Jesus, is that gut feeling that we know in our soul and in our heart that something is not right, that needs to be set right for us individually and for us as a community, as a whole. So historically, we've talked about that idea and that concept as redemption. In the hymnals, I love that, where it uses the word redemption. You know, in our modern time, we don't use the word redemption very much. We use words like happiness or positivity or something like that, which are much, much weaker words. But the idea and the concept of redemption is that setting things right in deliverance by payment. It's something that we do speak about in church, sometimes indirectly, but I don't know how many of us actually experience it directly, much less on a daily basis. Now, in regards to salvation, most of us know that our redemption before Jesus came was through animal sacrifices. The animals had to be sacrificed to get us right with God again. Then, of course, Jesus came and made the ultimate sacrifice and redeemed us so that we could go to heaven. Now, with that said, on a daily basis, in our regular walk with Christ, in our daily living, there's more to redemption than just the one time, hey, you can be redeemed and you're going to heaven now, and that's it. There's a much broader meaning of the word redemption that we see in Scripture. Now, the Bible as a whole gives us this fantastic story of redemption. It's one of my favorite things about the Word of God is that you have this collection of 66 different books, 66 different pieces of literature, if you will, throughout, you know, thousands of years, written by many, many people, and that are all compiled together into what we know now as the Bible. One of the things that makes that fascinating to me is that throughout the entire collection of all of these different books, all these different letters and stories and articles, all of these literature works, there's a consistent narrative theme throughout the entire book, which is amazing. It's why there's no other book in the history of the world like the Bible, and it's why Christians believe that it's the inspired work of God. Now, one of the things that that the Word of God tells us about redemption is basically starting with the beginning in Genesis. It's the reason for our search for meaning is because we are fallen in the first place. We find that with the story of Adam and Eve, where they chose to believe a lie over believing the truth of God and being obedient to Him. And so it's our separation from God that is that driving force for us to search for meaning, to search for some kind of an answer to justify this suffering that we experience on an individual, personal basis, and then on a worldly basis as well. Something that has to justify, why does this happen? Why is this all this suffering? And it is redemption. So what I'd like you to do is just to consider for a moment the possibility of purposefully engaging in the act of experiencing the fullness of God's redemption, and not just in the sense of salvation, but on a daily basis, experiencing the redemption of that setting things right, of deliverance by payment on a daily basis. The word that I'd like to share with you today is from Psalm 25, and it's a psalm of David. For those of you that are not familiar with the life of David, I'm not going to really go into that in detail, but David lived an incredibly full and very complicated life, and he had plenty of suffering. He had plenty of ups and downs. Psalm 25 is a lamentation of David. It's coming from a place, we don't know exactly when it was written, as far as where it was in his life, but we do know that it is coming from a place of deep pain and sorrow and depression and regret and seeking out exactly what we're talking about today, which is redemption. So if you have your Bibles, I'm going to go ahead and read Psalm 25 here for us all the way through. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies exult over me. Indeed, none who wait for you shall be put to shame. They shall be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long. Remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love, for they have been from old. Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me for the sake of your goodness, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my guilt, for it is great. Who is the man who fears the Lord? Him he will instruct in the way that he should choose. His soul shall abide in well-being, and his offspring shall inherit the land. The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he makes known to them his covenant. For my eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Bring me out of my distresses. Consider my affliction and my trouble, and forgive all my sins. Consider how many are my foes, and with violent hatred they hate me. O guard my soul and deliver me. Let me not be put to shame, for I take refuge in you. May integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. Man, that's a powerful psalm. It's not very uplifting, but there is something very uplifting about it. Now, in Psalm 25, we really get to see the heart of David. We get to see that he is going through these struggles of seeking after God, seeking after his wisdom, seeking after his way and not David's own way, seeking after forgiveness of sin and waiting on the Lord. But it's this constant kind of trying and failing, or maybe suffering is a better word there, of he's actively trying to pursue God, but still messing up, and things are still coming against him. And so he's seeking that deliverance and that redemption from God. Now, throughout the Bible as a whole, we see this similar cycle of trying and failing and trying and failing. You see it a lot in the story of Israel and throughout the rest of Scripture. And if we're just to sum it up, it kind of goes like this. There's a particular state of belief or rules or convictions that are established. And then once those are established, then there's a rebellion against those rules or convictions or beliefs. Then shortly after that, things kind of fall into a state of chaos or disorder. And after that, the people desperately seek some kind of way to sort out that chaos and sort out that disorder by imposing some kind of new beliefs or new rules or something to try to redeem the situation that they got themselves into. And then the cycle continues and they rebel against it, and it goes on and on. Now, that essentially is the cycle of humanity after the fall, after Adam and Eve. On a much more personal scale, it looks a little bit more like this. We have our own personal belief system, which is more or less how we orient ourselves in the world. Then something will rise up against that, and it'll disrupt that. It'll come into conflict with what those beliefs are. And then because our belief system isn't enough, it isn't sufficient, it doesn't have all the answers, it ages and it becomes corrupt over time, and then it's prone to collapse. Now, this is what happens typically when something tragic happens, when something like 9/11, you have buildings that are taken down by airplanes, when you have mass shootings, when you have a very serious medical illness that you've been diagnosed with, when you have something like adultery that you have now forced to deal with, when you have harm that comes to your children in a horrific and terrible way, real tragedy. Those are the kinds of things that really can disrupt our beliefs. And that cycle itself is flawed because our very existence is order, but also our existence is also chaos, and the chaos is intolerable. So if our beliefs are not sufficient and our very being of order and disruption is not sufficient, then where exactly does that leave us? And that's something that is revealed by Christ himself. So to purposefully engage in a new cycle of repentance, of dying to ourselves, and re-engaging in truth instead of the lie that we believed, and then doing that on a constant basis, is the way that we can start to experience the redemption that Christ has given us on a daily basis. Now, in order for us to do that, we really need to humble ourselves. We need to approach God like David does in Psalm 25 with great humility. The sin of pride is essentially thinking that we know enough to do without God or without his ways. And humility is more or less, I've talked a decent amount about humility throughout the past, but one of the definitions that I like the most is that humility is being deeply aware of our own ignorance, that we still have much to learn from God and much to learn from each other. And as we see here in Psalm 25, David gives us this perfect example of this humble approach to God. He asks God to forgive him. He asks God to humbly teach him his ways and show him how to live, to deliver him from his enemies, to take care of him and show him the way that he wants him to live. He dies to himself. He rejects the lies that he's believed, and he seeks after the truth of God. Now, something that I typically like to do when I talk is I like stuff that's interactive. We're going to do a little bit of that today. It's nothing crazy. But in the pews in front of you, you should have a little pencil if you don't already have something to write with. You don't have to do this. It's voluntary. But you will get more out of it if you participate. So if you have something to write with, go ahead and just grab something you can write with and something you can write on. It's not going to take long. I just like you to take a moment, and you can write this down anywhere. You can write it on your bulletin or in one of the cards in front of you. It doesn't matter so much where you write it, just that you write it down and get it out. But I just like you to take a moment to search your heart and to seek God on perhaps a lie that you have believed, something that you knew was a lie and you chose to believe it anyways. And if that's something that you have a hard time figuring out, then maybe there's a truth that you do know of, that you knew was true, that you knew was a good thing, but you've let go of it. So I want you to just write down that thing, whatever it is. If it's something you really don't want somebody else to see or somebody else to read, you can write it out in code. When we do men's ministry stuff, we'll have guys write stuff down sometimes. So you can write down, you know, Daffy Duck or something like that. You'll know what it means if you really don't want the other people around you to see what it is that you really want to seek some redemption from Jesus on today. So once you've written that down, go ahead and just flip over the paper or off to the side. I want you to write down the opposite of that. So if you wrote down a lie that you believed, then I want you to write down the truth that would go corresponding with that. Something that would counter that lie. The truth that you should have held on to if you something that you let go of. The truth that balances out the lie. Then I want you to, once you have that sorted, is the last step here, whatever that truth is, whatever the redeeming quality is, I want you just to write that literally straight on top of whatever the lie was that you wrote down the first time. There's an interesting, I think it was a movie that I saw, where it was a spy movie or something like that, and he was talking about trying to scribble out something that he had written. And he goes, oh, don't just scratch it out, because you can still see what's written there. You can still tell what was written after you scratch it out or put little circles over it or whatever it is you're trying to scratch it out. But if you literally write other words on top of it, it becomes very, very difficult to distinguish what letters are which, and it becomes impossible to read. And so this is just a good example of this bad choice that perhaps you've made, or this truth that you've let go of. And the redemption of Christ is that truth coming on top of it and over it and making it so that it is completely redeemed. It's not even legible anymore. That truth covers it up wholly and completely and redeems it into something totally new. So to be redeemed in the sense of our daily lives, like in the Psalm of David, is for us to aim ourselves, our lives, to make our focus to be Christ-like as much as we possibly can. To sacrifice what is no longer helpful and useful to us, the things that are no longer valid in ourselves, to humbly deny ourselves before God. And then finally, to live in the truth that God has called us to as best as we can, and to reject the things that we know are false and reject the things that we know are lies. So no matter where you are in your trials, no matter where you are in your life and your walk with God, I just want to encourage you to seek the Lord in His wisdom and trust His work in your life. Trust in His redemption, not just for salvation, but in a moment-by-moment basis when we're trying hard and we still mess up, or conflict still comes against us, the enemy still comes against us, or whatever it may be, that we can trust in His redemption so long as we're focused on Him. And if we do just that, if we take those steps, especially on a daily basis, to live our best for His truth and not the lies, to keep our aim and our focus on Him, it creates an existence for our lives that is in a deep state, such a deep state of meaning, that it justifies the tragedy and the suffering of living individually and on a whole world-like scale. And so, yeah, practice that. It's a good thing. The more you can do it, the better you'll be at it. It's something where as soon as you notice it, just pause for a second, send a little prayer up. Hey, God, please help me with this. I blew this. Redeem me for this. Thank you for doing that. All right, let me pray for us real quick here, and we'll be all sorted for today. Father, I thank you so much again for this time. I ask that you would continue to teach us about your redemption, that you would help us to live that out purposefully, that you'd help us to experience that on a daily basis, that you'd help us to repent, that you'd help us to turn away from things that we know are not good or healthy, that you'd help us to turn and embrace your truths, in your word, that you'd help us to walk as closely with you as possible, and that you would, in fact, redeem us in every way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.